Friends, when Abram the Hebrew was divinely commissioned, he was assured by solemn promises of both blessing and protection. This is recorded in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. The promises of blessing of a land, a great nation, and a great name were not merely for him. The clear objective was to bring blessing to all families of the human race. He was told his blessing was so that he will be a blessing. Then he was told, "And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Yet Abram was also told that curses would fall on those who opposed this divine plan to bless all nations through him. Friends, later in the same chapter we learn that in weakness he relied on his own fallible scheme to save his own neck by denying that Sarai was his wife. Pharaoh innocently believed Abram's claim and prepared to take Sarai as his wife. We read that divine intervention afflicted Pharaoh and his household with great plagues. Pharaoh repented and not only returned Abram's wife, but also enabled him to return to Canaan with great wealth. So Abram began to experience the Lord's promise of both blessings and curses. In the next chapter, Genesis 13, we learn that Abram wisely concluded that it was best to separate his large household from that of Lot. He even was willing to incur major but temporary material losses by allowing younger Lot first choice of the land. Yet this naturally served the divine plan of blessing. In the 14th chapter, Abram showed a great deal of courage when he decided to challenge Chedorlaomer, the superpower of the day, who had defeated all surrounding kingdoms and caused havoc throughout the region. Abram had only 318 able men. Three faithful Amorite brothers, neighbors, wisely trusted Abram's divinely guided wisdom and joined his effort to surprise Chedorlaomer's huge army at night. Friends, divine intervention brought confusion to Chedorlaomer's forces. The divine curse fell on them, and they brought self-defeat upon themselves. Abram not only emerged triumphant, but also became famous and highly respected. His dependence on the Lord was reflected in his rejection of the cowardly political bribe offered by the defeated and cursed king of Sodom. We read that, "But Abram said to the king of Sodom, 'I have lifted my hand to the Lord, God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I would not take a thread or a sandal strap or anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich.'" More importantly, Abram received a prophetic affirmation of his divine calling from a very special person, Melchizedek. His name meant King of Righteousness, which reflects the essence of holiness, justice, and truth. He is identified as King of Salem, which speaks of a kingdom of peace, and also as a priest of God Most High. We read that he prophetically said to him, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. Then came a wonderful response to this divine blessing. We read that Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Friends, Abram recognized Melchizedek as a true representative of God. Only he enjoyed the three offices of prophet, priest, and king until the coming of Jesus, the promised divine Messiah. As Abram's promised offspring through the royal line of David, Jesus brought the blessing of salvation and life eternal to those who embrace him from all families of the earth. Those who reject him are subject to the abiding curse of death. Holy Scriptures make this clear. We read in the third chapter of John's Gospel, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." Hallelujah.